Hi, this is Christine, and you've just tuned in to Christine Talks. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Christine Talks. I am Christine of the Rose and Ring author duo, Lynn and Christine. I'm here to walk you down the path to recovery after discovering your spouse's affair. Even hold your hand if needed. If you want to follow along, please feel free to get copies of The Rose Garden and the Ring and Faith in the Midst Study Guide on our website, www.therosegardenandthering.com, or on Amazon or any online bookstore. Please also remember to like, follow, subscribe, and share so that I know that these podcasts are helping. After all, that is the goal. Now, enough of all that business stuff. Let's get busy with our lesson today. Hello and welcome to episode 18, The Final Days of His Affair, Part 2. Last week I spoke about, in the beginning, all the way to the last days of the first affairs committed by our husbands, mine, Christine, and my partner, Lynn's husband. Please note once again, we know that this can go either way. In no way are we villainizing either men or women. We're simply telling our story and how the Lord helped us through so that hopefully we can be a light at the end of the tunnel for anyone needing it. And on another note, I'd like to share with you, the listeners, is the responses we have received as of late. I am so pleased to announce we have had over 800 listens, and this is a victory because it's the Lord's work. See, I get all choked up just thinking about it. He gets all the glory here. You must know that this is not easy for us to be so transparent with. The Holy Spirit showed Lynn and I that we were able to help others through God's ability and to His glory. So I am honored so many of you have been blessed by this podcast, and I am so sad many of you need it. I wish you didn't, honestly. If I could take it all away from each of you, I would, I promise. So thank you for all the comments, the positive comments. Thank you for reaching out for help. I am blessed each time one of you messages me for advice or just to listen. I am here and I welcome all communications. So again, if you have any questions or would like prayer, message us on one of the social media platforms or email me at fitm2013@gmail.com. Okay? So now enough of that business stuff for the day. Let's get to our lesson. Where we left off last week with Lynn's story, she was struggling to sacrifice her own pride for her husband's salvation and to save her marriage. So let's see where we are now. Now, Lynn says in the book, and I'm going to quote and paraphrase a little bit to make this section suitable for a podcast, of course. So she says, "The last day before my spouse and Christine's spouse returned to their families, even though years apart, had something in common. By this time, we had basically written the marriages off, and we were barely speaking to our spouses. Christine was pregnant and had to take care of herself and her two other kids, and I had to take care of myself and my two children as well. I felt like my attention for the last 8 months was spent on worrying, stressing, obsessing, praying, and trying to work things out, basically ignoring everyone else, only to be crushed over and over again." Now, as Christine, let me interrupt right here. You see, her focus is usually spot on, but this time her focus was on praying, but not centered directly on the Lord. So, okay, back to her story. I'm going to read as her again. "I, quite frankly, had no love left for anyone. One day he wanted to, quote unquote, talk, same as Christine's husband had years earlier. They started asking questions and made statements like, 'How can you forgive me after what I've done to you? And it would be almost impossible to save our marriage.' Now, surprisingly, although not really, our answers reflected God's word and promises, such as the following verses." Okay, so in Matthew 18, 21 through 22, the Lord says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And also in Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." So we can defute exactly what they were saying right then. And isn't it funny that both men said the same things to us, but years apart? So when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert, in the book of Matthew, he responded with God's word, and in the end, Satan left. The lesson there to remember, and sometimes oftentimes, let's be real, I forget, is to pray scriptures out loud, right into existence. And Satan is going to leave you alone. He doesn't want to hear that mess. He doesn't want to hear the word of the Lord. He's going to leave you alone. So, okay, the questions and the statements from the husbands kept coming. All the advice that was given to them by the adulteress and other misguided, quote-unquote, friends he had made during his rebellion all came up. All the truths he thought he knew and was starting to wonder about came to light. Now, I know the following supposed truths, quote-unquote, sound familiar. They say, the kids will be fine, or you deserve someone who loves you, and I want you to be happy. These statements are made by them to help them justify their actions and to try and relieve their own guilt. I know for sure that the adulteress said them to him because I read the email. Okay, stop right there. Lynn read the email the adulteress wrote to him telling him what to say. That's insane. That's awful. How could you let someone have that kind of control over you? I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, it's funny how God always shows us exactly what we need to know. She didn't go looking for it. It just was right there, open, sitting on a table. Okay, back to Lynn's portion in the book. After our conversation, he left, acting tough and in control, but really, he was totally confused. I, of course, was still bitter, exhausted, and frankly, over it. So, I had hoped and thought I was. That night, I jumped on the emotional roller coaster again, and I prayed and I cried for 6 hours for God to just give me a direction and the peace that goes with it. I needed to know if I was to hold on because the Lord was working on my spouse's heart, or to let go and move forward without him, and divorce was inevitable because he was, quite frankly, hopeless at this point. I was at the end spiritually and emotionally. So the next morning, I woke up looking horrible from getting very little sleep. I had to chaperone my son's field trip for school. It was on the field trip that I thought I knew the answer. I was going to let him go completely and plan for a future without him. And so I began thinking about what to do next to achieve that goal. I hoped to get some peaceful rest as soon as I could before making any decisions. Well, he came to get the kids that afternoon for a while and asked if I wanted to talk. I said no, because I really didn't have much to say, but he insisted. So we talked. I mean, what I mean by that is he finally talked. It was as if I was listening to God speak to me through him. It was as if God was using him, answering my prayer for a clear direction. Listen, my spouse said he was tired of rebelling and wanted to commit 100% to the marriage and move back in the next day. He told me he called her and ended the relationship for good and wanted to start appreciating me for the awesome person I was, and he was sorry for hurting me. Side note right there, Lynn is an amazing person. Okay, back to her story. He spoke in clear, to-the-point sentences for the first time out of left field, and there was no doubt it was from my God who knew I truly needed a direction. I have looked back often on that time wondering if he was supposed to return. And that's the thing about God. He makes things happen so that it could only be from divine intervention. I'll never doubt that the outcome was from God. I had my direction. Funny how I assumed the opposite. Okay, now listeners, you're going to have to listen to the future episodes to hear how it turned out. Twists and turns are ahead for my dear friend Lynn, but I'm going to start right there. Okay, now let's switch gears and talk about my relationship. So as for me and where we left off last week, my husband's car had just thrown a rod and he had to stay at my house on my couch. So here's the rest of the story for today. Back then, realizing Mother's Day was approaching, his wheels began to turn. My husband knew our kids were too small to do anything for me for Mother's Day, and he wanted to one-up the cute boy that had just mowed my lawn. Ego! I was sure he would forget or spend it with her, so I decided to be with my mother this year. I left the house early that morning so I wouldn't have time to be disappointed by my husband's lack of action. The day was beautiful. The weather was beautiful. My parents had wrapped a gift for my children to give me. It was great. I came home late that night, just before the kids' bedtime. What I found at my home was the beginning of his transformation, and quite frankly, mine. I pulled up to the house to find a very tired, dirty, and dehydrated husband standing in my driveway. His eyes lit up like they had not in months when he saw me and I pulled up in the car. He was excited like a child and like so nervous to show me what he had done for me. Well, unfortunately, I was less than receptive, thinking he didn't deserve praise for anything. That was not important, though. God had broken him right there in my yard that day. You see, he didn't have a key to my house, so he could not come in for rest and relief from the heat. He had just spent the entire day re-landscaping my entire yard. In the dirt, that day, he said to himself, "Christina's gonna love this." And then baffling himself, he wondered why he even cared what I thought. And the love he had for God and for me and for the children began to flood his heart. And from that night on, he began to make plans to come home. I had no idea he was planning to reconcile. But he began the process all on his own. And if that was not enough, that very weekend, my husband and the other woman were supposed to go home for one final weekend and ask their spouses for a divorce. Now, this part's kind of funny, so forgive me if I laugh. But she did just that. But my husband did not. She got a quickie divorce, fully expecting him to do the same. Upon returning to see her on Monday morning, he informed her that they were over, and he was going to work towards reconciliation with me. I accepted him back with no demands, save for the ones I told my God and one request of my husband. Now, that's really important right there. When they come back, they're going to be super overwhelmed with how to fix things. And really, I think the only thing to do is not give him a bunch of demands that he is going to feel overwhelmed with and not probably accomplish. But I did ask him to do this one thing, and I gave the rest to the Lord. I did have him call her while I listened in to tell her again that it was over, and he did. Most men that do come back do so with hard hearts at first. And you do deserve better, ladies. I realize, and so did I. Or men, it could be the other way. However, our responses as wives or the faithful partner makes all the difference. No demands meant that I accepted him as he was at the time. My spouse told me that he had never loved me just to hurt me. He told me that it would be easier to drive me away than to work on our relationship. Then his words to me changed into more of an emphasis on the kids. So now he's saying things like, "The kids don't deserve to live with us this way. They deserve better." But when I did not give up on him, my spouse turned to focus on himself. He said, "I hurt you. How can you forgive me?" God was softening his heart little by little until he finally gave in and admitted that he loved me and had always loved me. My attitude made all the difference in God's ability to work in my spouse. Okay, so not my attitude didn't make the difference. My attitude made the difference in allowing God to work. I didn't get in the way of God's plan. So needless to say, I take no credit for this. God shut my very vocal mouth and softened my heart. God deserves all the credit here. So folks, that is where I'm going to stop today. He did come back for several years, and we were able to fully enjoy one another's company eventually, but it took lots of years. Ladies, don't think this is going to be fast. Don't think if you accept them back, you all are going to get back in a month or two to a state of normalcy. It takes a very long time to heal. Years and years, in fact. Now I want to turn your focus one more time, just back on Jesus for a moment. In John 16:24. It says, as Jesus was preparing himself and his disciples for the cross, he instructed them, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Let me challenge you this week. If you want anything for your marriage, for yourself, for your family, ask it in Jesus' name. He alone holds the power. The scripture says, ask and you will receive. Now, maybe you're not exactly going to receive what you think you want, but the Lord knows what is right for you. You will receive. And it says that your joy will be complete. Let's also remember, your joy is in the Lord. His answers are always complete, as is His perfect love for us. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in next week when I will talk about the whole reason we're called Rose and Ring, and the books are called The Rose Garden and the Ring. Bye for now. Thank you for listening today. I am truly blessed with the opportunity to speak to you. Again, if you think this video has been helpful or you want to know more, please like, subscribe, and share. Also, you can find helpful daily devos on all of our social media outlets, as listed in the comments of this podcast. Our books are available on the website and on all online bookstores, so go to www.therosegardenandthering and grab two, one for you and one to give away to someone in need. And remember, you are not alone. In Jesus' name, bye for now.